So the public comment I have, we're going to begin with Marquez Osun.
I need my computer to time.
Okay, wait a minute. I just want to.
I need my computer to time. Sorry.
Don't lose that.
Dan has it too.
And after Marquez is Ray LaForest, and then Mitch Cohn, or Mitchell Cohn, as he has put down here, and then I'll read the rest of the list. Welcome back, Marquez.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm again asking the plaintiff to drop the suit against Pacifica that would save us money, whether it's billed to BAI or Pacifica, doesn't matter. It's still costing BAI, as someone said earlier. The suit, there's nothing in it that at least the legitimate parts. There's nothing in those parts that cannot be resolved through mediation. Okay? And also, I'm asking the New York delegation to join me in sponsoring a motion to that effect, asking them to drop that suit that would save Pacifica money. Also, nothing happens in a vacuum, as you well know. The period of revenue decline as at BAI corresponds to a period of instability at the top. We had no permanent manager, and we still do not have a development director. WBAI is competing with stations that are well-funded and well-staffed with development experts. Compounding the absence of an appropriate development team, WBAI has been enduring sabotage. Yes, sabotage. A boycott campaign started by a health businessman and continuing to this day under different forms and guise, such as an LSB member asking listeners to send donations to his apartment and not to WBAI, on-air disparaging of management during and just before and after fund drive, thus affecting the morale of the staff and also listener confidence into WBAI. So, in conclusion, I would say that WBAI needs a development director to complement its management team to enable it to compete fairly against well-endowed and appropriately staffed competitors. I join you all in lauding the new general manager at WBAI, but the general manager will not succeed despite our good wishes without a good team to do the work that is needed to keep WBAI at its feet to make it flourish. And also, by way of public disclosure, I'd ask for the plaintiff to drop the suit. I would also, me, for myself, a simple apology would suffice because I'm one of the staff members maligned in their a complaint by way of innuendo.
Thank you, Marquez.
That they did not bring not just one iota of proof to buttress because none exists.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much. Ray LaForest, Mitchell Cohn, and then William Herwagen.
Now for a slightly different accent.
What?
Well, to add to what Marquez said, he was talking about competition between BAI and the BAI situation and what the other stations are facing. There's another competition I'd like to point to you, not to whine and complain, but just so you'll be aware of the situation, is that BAI is functioning in the busiest radio market in the country. I mean, one example I can think of is that the Haitian community in New York is the most organized of all Haitian communities. I mean, it's organized into a tremendous degree. It has huge numbers. However, we're only able to bring one council person after more than 25 years in New York City. In Florida, where the community is much smaller, but where there's absolutely practically no competition. They have elected council people, state assembly people, and so on. The point I'm trying to make is that the competition that WBA has is unique. It's not just that we're paying $750,000 in cost of rent and antenna, but that the competition is fierce for the airtime. Okay, now, I support George's motion. I don't think it goes far enough. Not because I think we have to apply the money to the salaries. Not because it's a fair thing to do, not because of personal suffering, but because if you don't, you would undermine the ability for the station to function. You can cut and cut until you actually get diminishing returns. I believe Chair mentioned earlier, I shared the imagery of cutting rose bushes and having them grow stronger next year. Well, what I'm thinking about actually is brain surgery and something called ablation, where you're actually removing, let's say, cancerous cells to save the patient. However, if you're not careful, you actually can wind up with a patient that has no speech, where you attack the higher functioning of the brain, motor coordination, and so on. So I'm telling you that if you cut too much, you will have your numbers in reduction in a row. You should be happy about talking about that. And however, that you would have a station that is not functional. So we're not just begging for a favor. We're saying for practical reason, just move in a very measured way. And the way to do so is to provide us with that very small addition to the budget. Oh, I'd like to point one more thing. According to what the GM's figures point to, there would be a $73,152 cost for severance for the 6.35 FTEs. And if you do save two positions in WBAI, you will save one third of that money. It's not much, but it's an additional money in the pot. Thank you.
Mitch Cohn, followed by William Herwagen. I keep butchering your name because... Herwagen, thank you.
Well, greetings. The ad campaign, as you know, was developed by Steve Brown, who has a lot of experience in the marketing field. And I think that, and since we're all relying on this ad campaign, I think it's good that everybody is united here in relying on getting this out, people from different factions. The other part is the fulfillment. We should also, I know Jamie was very keen on the 76% fulfillment rate, but Steve Brown has also proposed a very well-documented booklet on how to increase that fulfillment rate. So step by step in terms of credit cards and other things, and I think that management is going to be implementing that. So in a couple of months, that should start showing up on the books. So I agree that people should be skeptical until it's proven in that regard, but I like the idea of in a month or two of reviewing it and then allowing us to revise the figures, including the percentage, the credit card percentage and the fulfillment rate based on that, what it looks like after we implement some of that. I also think we need to create a separate expense line itemization in the budget for the aggregate management salaries and take that out of being mixed in with the staff salaries. There should be two separate lines in the budget. One is for management salaries, one is for staff salaries. And that should be, could you please ask people to stop heckling me while
please
I'm talking?
Please stop heckling him. It's actually, nobody heckled. Just please don't do it, right?
Thanks. And so I would propose that the PNB actually make that separate line, that separation in salary, so we could see the aggregates in that and what we're talking about. And the reason why it's important to where the money which is going is because people's jobs depend on this. And if people are going to be fired based on where that money is going or the as proposed. So it's important that we not say, well, it's just as good here or this other place or the other, as Brian was putting forth. It does matter because people are going to be laid off based on that. Maybe they'll be rehired later, but that does make a difference. It's not just incidental to what we're talking about. It's at the core of what we're talking about. So when I look at the $420,000 in cuts that that WBAI is being mandated to make in salaries of staff people, like this doesn't exactly equal the 6.35 FTEs. I mean, it's a lot. It comes out to more than that. It looks to me, and especially since each person is maybe half-time or part-time, it looks like we're talking about cutting 12 or 13 or 14 people if you divide up the $420,000. And that's a real lot of people that we're talking about, people with real lives, as Kathy so eloquently explained earlier. So that's really important to focus on, too. Finally, I wanted to just mention that Kathy Davis has a proposal that's coming up before the LSB at the next meeting. That's an excellent proposal for fundraising in some different ways that we've done in the past. I have a proposal for earmarking lockbox campaign for staff salaries only, and that would be coming up as well, so that we can generate a lot, in addition to the current fund drives, I'm finishing off, in addition to the current fund drives, solely for staff salaries, which I believe will develop a lot more, a lot of support for that, and we'll be able to generate some of that money. So if allow us to revise it, the budget, based on a 1 or 2 or 3 months from now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next, William, please.
Hi, William Hare Wagon, WBAI. We had a discussion of at least 4 or 5 items that could be added to revenue. 2 of them, I think, are in a motion. We have the ad campaign, the mail drop. We had possibly reassigning legal fees that already have been included in the budget. And then the $160,000 donation that should be reclassed, we think, and to not have to pay the levy, as I've heard it referred to. And then there's also I asked the previous speaker to, and some board member here, to drop the lawsuit so there won't be any further legal fees. I mean, it was probably characterized by some people and me as spurious, a lawsuit in the first place. And then this business about adding any revenue that gets added but not allowing it to be applied to employees is totally ridiculous. This is, if we could, you're going to have monthly and quarterly reviews and you're going to be watching everything. If something goes bad, those reviews will catch it. So this, whatever it is, whether it's 80,000 or 200,000, if you add everything up, that should be applied directly to saving staff now, not laying off people. And then if there's a problem and we see in these reviews that, hey, the money's not coming in, it's never going to happen, then you make the cuts that we've already talked about. But now, instead of cutting 6.5 full-time equivalents, which could be 10 or 12 people, because hardly anybody works full-time there anymore, those cuts could be made later. We already have them outlined. We make less cuts now because we're going to have increased revenue. And if we need to, we make those additional cuts. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Next I have Fagra Vajra. Thank you.
Hi. I want to second what William said about applying increased revenue to staff. We have a great deal at WBA of what we might call the false economies of the poor, which have to do with the fact there's no development director. There's no advertising budget. So money is not spent and less money comes in. Okay, so that's one issue. But I want to address another point that's been kind of floated at some local station board meetings. And I think it needs to be addressed, and that is the idea of eliminating the salary of the program director from the budget, which is just another way of getting rid of a program director that some people have been trying to get rid of for some years. And then it was also floated that perhaps we should just sell the signal and go down to the educational end of the dial. So you know, it's kind of a meet the new coosters, same as the old coosters development. But I just want to remind people here that the last time that our program director was fired, it unleashed a boycott against the station. That was a very well-organized boycott. When the program director was returned to the station, it was called off, and more money came in than had come in a very long time. But it was fairly apparent that the purpose of firing the program director and a few other people and shifting the programming of the station was for the purpose of driving the station into the ground to justify selling the signal and then having all that money to play with, basically, to do other things with. If I believe, and this is based on spending a lot of time in the pledge room taking pledges, which I wish more board members would do, when I raised the issue at a recent board meeting that apart from however well the boards function, they certainly don't function like the boards of most not-for-profits, which do a lot of fundraising. And somebody said, we're not a fundraising board, we're a governance board. I don't see very many other board members in the pledge room, but when you go in the pledge room, you learn a lot about who subscribes to the station, who contributes to the station. And I think we can pretty well predict that if the program director is fired again, that there will be a boycott, only this time it will be one that will not be necessarily organized or controllable. And that it will be one very excellent way, if that's what you want to do, of driving the station into the ground so that you can sell the signal. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think any of it's a good idea. I'll be out there to fight it. But it's just not a good idea. And I hope that everybody remembers the history of what happened the last time and takes it to heart and does not fall for the okey-doke of people who basically don't like the program director's politics and want to make an end run around dealing with their wretched politics to try to get rid of him. Okay, and the other thing is that lawsuit is about bullying. It's about bullying. We will keep this lawsuit going and cost you money until you give us what we want. It's bullying. That's all it is. It should be dropped.
Thank you. I have Serene Roberts, I believe it's Tibby Brooks, Bob Lederer, Lisa Davis, and then I'll call the rest of the names. Well, we got to go back up to Lizette after W, but where is she from?
Hi, I'm Tibby Brooks, and I'm from New York, and I can't reach this. Thank you. I'll hold it. There are two things that really struck me today. People kept talking yesterday and today almost as if Pacifica and BAI is a nonprofit coming from an agency culture with certain understandings. And actually, over the last 40 years, it's certainly understood that BAI and Pacifica are both movement organizations. And one of the things in all the movements we all come out of, they have a development director, and they may not call him that because that's an agency term. But there's always some little committee that works strictly on fundraising, and they're dedicated to that, whether it's, major donor visits, and people get trained to do that, it's making these banquets, if they think they can hit up on the culture vultures. We have David Rothenberg, who does really, really well on that, with the people who, go to the theater, and they've got the money to spend on it. And I think we have to remember that we've been doing without that at BAI. There isn't even a little subcommittee that handles it. It's like the money has to come from the masses, from the people. And the masses are getting poor, they're getting tired, they hate listening to the fund drive. And I really think we have to focus on it. There are other organizations that actually have somebody who nitpicks, the money market funds, and where do you put $10,000? And they switch it around from Nebraska to Colorado to God knows where. But there's somebody who does that kind of stuff. And we don't have anybody on staff or even on a subcommittee. And the other thing, what Vajra referred to, we didn't have management for a nice couple of years that you'd actually see. Sometimes it was an embarrassment. You'd read about them in the Daily News the next day in some kind of sexual harassment suit, and people would call me on the phone after midnight and say, my God, do you know what's going on? And I say, I'm not allowed to talk about it. It's a personnel matter. believe me, I'd say it because I'm on the board. So there was some kind of management embarrassment. And then people who kind of disappeared or they stayed in their office. And I think there's a problem with proposing a commune or a troika of leadership. I'm not addressing the issue of firing the program manager. I'm addressing the issue of using communal leadership because people do get, if you have slash and burn from the staff, the people who are in charge of leading it, they get burnout. And you see it after every revolution. People eventually, within time, simply get burnout. I myself work 3 movement jobs, 49 hours a week. You get burnout. You get very tired with the best of intentions. So I ask people to understand, you cut staff enough and it's slash and burn. And don't do it.
Thank you. Bob Lederer, followed by Lisa Davis, followed by Gail Wilson, I think.
Dixon.
Yes. Dixon. Well,
okay. Hi. First, I just want to congratulate the National Board for returning to compliance with the bylaws by having this discussion in public. It's really welcome. Just a quick note on the discussion about major donors. That was a category that, regardless of where the definition came from, it was followed by WBAI management with the approval of the National Office, the National Finance Committee, and the National Board for many, many years. So if there's a problem with the $500 cutoff, then that needs to be redefined at a policy level, but it can't be put on the shoulders of WBAI for doing something that, as far as they knew, was perfectly appropriate. Now, on the issues on the floor, I want to support, as some of the earlier speakers have, George's amendment with the further amendment to it that all of that money be redirected to the salary line, because otherwise it really is not changing anything in this budget, because, of course, any income line could exceed what's been budgeted, and, if there's not a specific place to redirect it, it'll just accumulate in a surplus and not achieve the important goal, which is to prevent needless layoffs. That's really the key. On the mail drop, I just want to add a fact that people may not know about the one that was directed by the National Office last year. The key difference there was it wasn't using the WBAI membership list. All of the ones for years beforehand were either current or lapsed members of WBAI. This one was an innovative idea, and it may yet work in the future, but it's not what's been proposed by our manager for this budget, which is an acquisition mailing of progressive magazines throughout the entire northeastern corridor. It's a different concept. It didn't work that well, even though it did raise a net of $22,000. But that's apples and oranges, and we need to go back to the long track record of successful mail drops before that. As far as the election lawsuit, I agree with Yosha's motion that it really logically should be reclassified as a National Office expense because it was a result of decisions by a national contractor, the National Election Supervisor, hired by the then executive director. And WBAI has absolutely nothing to do with incurring one penny of that expense. But on the other hand, the real way to resolve that once and for all is for this board to, speak it in one voice and say that this absolutely needs to be dropped. There's the outcome that the plaintiffs appear to be seeking has long since been realized by their groups controlling a majority of the board. And even with the scenario run, if many of their assumptions were granted in the lawsuit, that their control of the board wouldn't change one way or the other. So what is the suit about anyway? It's really a travesty that continues, and particularly with one member, Jamie Ross, who sits on this board, being one of the plaintiffs. I just want people to remember in closing that there is that review monthly and more frequently, and after that, that any assumptions that don't work out can be checked and adjusted down the line.
Thank you. And next on the list is Lisa Davis, followed by Gail Dixon, followed by Fahima Saleh. Sit.
Good evening, everybody, or good afternoon. My name is Lisa Davis. As many of you all know me, I used to sit on that side of the board. I'm with WBAI, and I'm from New Jersey.
Ooh,
what a mistake. What a mistake. New Jersey, and proud of it. And that's how we like to do it. New Jersey, we take New York stuff and go to New Jersey. But I want to talk about something a little bit different from the budget that's very important. Many of you have heard about Troy Anthony Davis. They are scheduled to execute him on September 23rd. That has to be stopped. He is innocent. His fingerprints don't match those at the crime scene. There was no gun residue on his fingers. And at least 7 of the 9 people who initially said he did it recanted. I have some blank letters here. I would like to pass them out for people to sign them. I will make sure that they get faxed, but also please feel free to take copies and maybe pass them around, and let's get as many people to sign this, as many letters as possible. So and now to just address a couple of issues, one of them being the lawsuit. I just want to say that my colleagues and I, we also had concern last year about the way the ballots had been sent out. There were many people complaining that they had not received their ballots, and the deadline, I believe, of November 15th was fast approaching. We chose to go to the National Election Supervisor to say that since the ballots were sent out late, that they should be extended. The National Supervisor did show willingness to work with us on that and issued a statement saying he was going to extend the deadline. The initial lawsuit that was brought forward was talking about how the deadline was coming upon them and there were people who had not received their ballots, and therefore that wasn't fair to do that. But then once the deadline had been extended, they took the lawsuit anyway, knowing that the deadline had been extended. And then once it went to court, they added all these amendments and everything onto it like that, so there was no reason to bring the lawsuit in the first place. And then another thing that became a part of the lawsuit that they added all these things onto was that they were challenging people who had signed waivers because they didn't have the money or whatever. They were saying that their ballots should not be counted for whatever reason. It was very unfair. So it was more about disenfranchising people further. And also they were challenging the fact that for whatever reason, Pacifica set the ballots out 8 days later than the bylaws set to do that. But the bylaws talked about a 30-day time period for the ballots to be sent out for people to receive them. So therefore, naturally, it should have followed that the ballots, if it got sent out 8 days late, that it should have been extended 8 days late. They were against that. So, you know, it didn't have to be brought. And just one other thing I'm noticing, we worked hard, both sides, to present, come up with a plan in terms of fundraising as the PNB asked us to do. We had the proposal ready since July 21st and we brought it before the LSB, and for whatever reason, they didn't approve it yet. But I'm just noticing now that I'm hearing all these individuals talk about, well, look at my proposal, and look at my proposal, and look at my proposal, individuals from the other side. But I want you to know that there was an effort for people to work jointly together, and that's been stalled for various reasons at the LSB, and I find it interesting to hear them now talking about my proposal and my proposal and my proposal. And one other thing, the general manager, when our side had the majority, we were the ones who vetted him in the GM Church
and recommended.
Hi.
Hello. Is this Gail Dixon?
This is Gail Dixon.
Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Everybody in the audience, you know what? I think we have people who are passionate from one point or the other. It really doesn't help the situation or get us anywhere when you snicker and comment and laugh. And please don't. Go ahead, Gail.
Thank you. I'm Gail Dixon. I'm one of the members of the PFW LSB. And right now I feel like I'm a dual personality. I am hopefully still going to be active in many different ways with the LSB. But because of the death of my daughter back in December, I moved back up to my family manse in Trenton. So you know that I'm a little depressed. All due respect to New Jersey. The reason I'm speaking on this issue is because I've been kept abreast of a number of issues of BAI through my fellow members on my own board, but also because of one of my sisters. I have five of them, most of them in New Jersey, and I have one who has been extraordinarily generous through the years with her checkbook to WBAI. She even became extraordinarily generous with PFW and bought us two brand new tape recorders last year. I say that because money and resources are a big part of what we're talking about here. All of that is part of a budget. And when I say she's been generous, I'm talking thousands of dollars through the years. She has threatened on more than one occasion to cut that. She's one person, but she's been very consistent. But she's threatening to do it again and wanted me to bring this up because of the insanity of whatever has been going on at BAI. She's very distressed. She wants to know about issues. This is a presidential year. She wants to hear about the issues that are important to her and certainly, well, to every citizen who's going to go to the polls. She wants to know about the area in which she lives in New Brunswick. She wants to know about issues and concerns and, you know, good and bad things going on. And she relies on BAI to help her with that. So I am saying to the National Board and to BAI itself, because I'm going to be up there and my heart is always going to be with PFW, but part of me now is with BAI. I'm in Trenton. I need you badly.
I really do.
But that means that I want a station that's really going to clue me in so that I can hopefully clue other people in one of the most Victorian parts of New Jersey. I live in Hamilton Township right now, and it is horrific in terms of knowledge, activism, anything. So I'm urging that we get past, and I know it's not easy. We certainly haven't had a wonderful time all the time at PFW.
Gail, we're getting close to time, Gail. So
okay.
If you could wrap up, thank you.
There's got to be some sense that Pacifica is about bringing information and really guiding people on the right path in regard to the larger issues. It's not about us as individuals. It can't be. Yes, we have to be honest and look at issues right inside the station, but more than that, we have to figure out a way to make things work. Because I, too, don't want to wake up to dead air. It scares me a lot.
Thank you, Gil.
Thank you.
Next is Fahima Set. And then we go to Serene. I got it covered.
Good afternoon. I think it's appropriate that I come after Gail Dixon. Born and raised in New York, back and forth from D.C. to New York. I don't have an on-air show per se, but I produce here and there in Houston, New York, and in D.C. from time to time. And sometimes I will co-host Underneath the Learning Tree with Kamal Kalfani. I want to just make two comments. First off, I think it's really disrespectful if someone dies and bequeaths money to a station for that money to be levied. You know, I think that if I were to leave money to BAI or PFW, A or K, and someone were to disrespect the wishes that I had put forth, I'd probably reach up out of the grave, you know, and do something. Lastly, I wanted to say, we're supposed to all be Pacificans. And I think that it is a conflict of interest for someone to be a director and to file a lawsuit against the very entity that they have stewardship over. I mean, there's just something about that that's troubling. And that's all I have to say. We're all Pacificans.
Thank you. Serene. Yeah. Serene.
Hi, thanks. I'm from New York. Couple of things. I do want to ask specifically Mitchell Cohn, who's the chair of the board, the guy with the multicolored pamphlets, LSB member Alex Steinberg, director Jamie Ross, Carolyn Burden, who is their associate and who therefore received materials that were accidentally sent in with a ballot, received them on the plaintiff's behalf because they're all friends and work together, and Stephen Brown, who has funded this entire operation to drop the lawsuit. The $61,000 that Tony referred to earlier is almost two FTEs, okay? So the fact that there's now a proposal, which I support, to allocate those expenses to National because it was based on a national decision and was not initiated by anyone employed at WBAI, it does not change the fact that essentially those folks are stealing not just from BAI listeners, but now they get a chance to steal from listeners around the country. I think it's shameful, and I think you guys should stop.
I'd urge you not to use steal.
I'm sorry?
I'd urge you not to use little language.
Pick the pockets of.
no, much better.
For a not-for-profit organization, the most important thing, for a not-for-profit organization, the most important thing is your membership list. And the listfrog/ACE/independents have made many attempts to get at that list. They did it in one election with a phony survey. They did it most recently with a bogus flashlight made in China by little Chinese children, no doubt. And the pamphlet that they sent out in the mailer contained an illegal staff endorsement by Kathy Davis and Sean Rhodes. Both, one is a director, the other is on the LSB, both of whom knew it was against the rules. There are a number of campaign violations, including posters for one side, posted along the hallway outside of Kathy Davis's office during the time of balloting at the station. So, yes, there are many complaints, and the interveners seek to have some of those things formalized also. They're not joining this bogus lawsuit to drive up expenses. In terms of talking about what WBAI does and what WBAI faces, we talked about the fixed expenses. There's also tremendous competition by an NPR station, which has both an AM and FM arm, where they have loads of money. They do commercial-like underwriting. We have a college-funded station that's very strong competition. You know, we have Air America such as it is. We have a huge and very diverse community of people who use a lot of sub-carrier stations, including we talked about the Haitian community. They've got at least 10. I mean, every time I turn on, because I know someone who has a sub-carrier, there are a million of them, okay? And the same thing applies to other communities within the New York area. So we do have competition. It is a different situation. With regard to the issue of major donors, someone has to address it. One, because you can't tell me that it makes sense that someone who sends in a $500 check is a major donor, but someone who makes a $1,000 pledge and takes a $30 T-shirt is not a major donor. It's got to be after the fair market value of whatever your contribution is. That has to be factored in. I mean, I'm not a tax expert, but that seems to make sense to me. So I do ask that at some point this weekend the board address the issue of the conflict between the fiduciary responsibility of directors and their going into court on a lawsuit under false pretenses. The extension had been publicly announced at the time that they rushed to the judge and said, oh, my God, they're not going to count my vote. Okay? The timeline is clear. They know this. Their intent and their request, and read through the papers, it's quite entertaining if you know the truth, including charges, incidentally, that staff somehow were able to identify which people pledged like them as opposed to anyone else. Go figure. And we have staff people who signed on to this ridiculous charge against their colleagues. No wonder we're in trouble. I know you're holding up that sign.
That's right.
Protect the membership list. They do not have a right to the membership list. They must not get access to our membership list. Read the court papers.
Thank you. Okay. That is the end of public comment, except that there is one name on the list, Lizette King, who wishes to speak after Brian presents the WPFW budget.